This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/minute.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, September 26th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Cyber war is complicated. It's often hard to pin down exactly who originated an attack, and governments often don't want to take responsibility over fear of retaliation. But according to researchers at Google, a growing body of evidence suggests that pro-Russian hackers and online activists are working with Russia's military to coordinate cyber strikes on Western adversaries, and that the number of these attacks could be on the rise. On today's show, our cybersecurity reporter Robert McMillan joins us to discuss how experts think Russia is using these groups as cover for even more serious attacks. That's after these headlines. Set your clocks. Today at 7:14 p.m. Eastern, a NASA satellite is expected to crash into an asteroid more than 6 million miles away. On purpose. The Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, is part of the first-ever Planetary Defense Test Mission. The roughly $325 million project aims to test out one way of avoiding a possible future collision between Earth and an asteroid. Andy Rivkin is an investigation lead on the DART team.
Unlike other natural disasters like hurricanes or earthquakes or tornadoes, we have the technology to predict an asteroid impact very far ahead of time and potentially to stop them from happening at all. So the DART mission and planetary defense in general is aimed at finding out what's out there, figuring out if anything is out there that we need to worry about and when we need to worry about it, and then what we call mitigating or deflecting the asteroid so it does not hit the Earth.
The asteroid that DART's aiming for is about the size of the Washington Monument. And while it doesn't pose a risk to Earth, other asteroids have caused severe damage when they've hit the planet, including, scientists believe, wiping out the dinosaurs. Tesla has filed a countersuit against the California agency that's suing it for racial discrimination in the workplace. The California Civil Rights Department, previously known as the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, sued the electric vehicle maker back in February. It alleged that for years, Tesla ignored complaints from black workers at its Fremont plant that supervisors and managers used racial slurs and that there was racist graffiti in the factory. Tesla has rejected those assertions. Its countersuit claims the agency violated state rules by filing the lawsuit without seeking public comment or holding a public hearing. The CRD declined to comment on the countersuit. Iran is continuing to restrict internet access in large parts of the country as it tries to curb widespread protests for women's rights. The protests began earlier this month following the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, who died while she was in police custody for allegedly violating the country's strict dress code for women. Protesters have clashed violently with security forces, and they've used social media, including Instagram and WhatsApp, to rally support and spread their message. In response, the government has tightened its blocks on these kinds of platforms, according to NetBlocks, which monitors internet traffic outages. Businesses in New York City are trying to figure out how to comply with a forthcoming law there that will require them to start auditing the artificial intelligence systems they use for hiring. Companies are increasingly using AI to sort through job applications, but data scientists warn that biases built into the underlying systems could lead to some candidates being unfairly cut out. The law in New York, set to come into effect in January, will require companies to conduct reviews to assess biases that may be lurking in their AI systems, including along race and gender lines. But our reporter Richard Vandervoort says they're struggling to figure out how to carry these audits out.
One issue is that unlike, say, a financial audit, there's not clear ground rules on what an AI audit looks like. And the companies were hoping for more guidance on what exactly the city might be looking for. The city has said that's forthcoming, but so far none has been issued. Another challenge is that organizations don't all follow the same playbook for handling AI. Some make the HR head the owner. Some with a privacy officer will give that person responsibility. Some will give it to IT. So it's a challenge to even begin these audits for some organizations.
And have you been wondering what the metaverse might look like? Well, there may already be a way to know. Last week, our colleagues on the Journal podcast dropped the first episode in a new series called How to Build a Metaverse. It's about one metaverse that's been up and running for years, and what its story can teach us about the future that seems to be on its way. If you want to check it out, you can find it in the Journal feed wherever you get your podcasts. All right, coming up, a new report suggests Russia has found a way to project a more menacing presence online. How's it doing that? We'll discuss after the break.
This episode is brought to you by the Ecolab Science Certified Program. With Ecolab's training and products, businesses can give their staff the tools they need to help maintain a safer and healthier space for their customers. Because better science equals better business. Find out how the Ecolab Science Certified Program can help your establishment achieve a scientific clean by visiting ecolab.com/seal.
Since the war in Ukraine began, experts have been talking about the threat of cyber warfare. But the massive, devastating cyber strikes that they've been warning about so far haven't come to pass. Now a growing body of evidence suggests Russia's military intelligence agency, the GRU, may be working with pro-Russian hackers and online activists to coordinate their strikes. That information comes from the cybersecurity research firm Mandiant, a part of Google, and it's sending a worrying signal about the possible volume and damage of hacks to come. Here to discuss the findings is our cybersecurity reporter, Robert McMillan. Hi, Bob. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Zoe. Great to be here.
So what's the evidence of the connection between Russia and these hacking groups or hacktivists?
Well, the cybersecurity firm Mandiant has taken a look at a number of break-ins, and they've spent a lot of time tracking the official government-sponsored hacking. Over years, they've tracked a lot of their activity. And what they've noticed increasingly is that when these break-ins happen, within like 24 hours of the break-in, suddenly the hacktivist groups have the data from these same networks, and they're leaking it. They're saying, we've broken in and we're leaking this data. So what Mandiant is saying, like, this looks like coordination to us. It looks like the GRU hacking team is breaking in, stealing a bunch of data, and somehow just handing it off to these hacktivists who then dump it to further cause trouble for the entities they're hacking.
What are the hacking groups that are involved, and have we seen attacks from them before?
So there are literally two dozen Russian hacking groups. And the hacktivism in Russia go back 15 years. But really what we're talking about are a number of groups that were formed right around the beginning of the war. And the two most interesting to me of them are one called Killnet and one called Hacknet. Now, Hacknet is the group that the Mandiant team is saying might be working with Russian intelligence. But Killnet is this kind of crazy beast. Killnet apparently started as a business, like you can rent this Killnet network and we'll attack any entity you want, like just give us money. And then when the war broke out, they started doing more and more patriotic stuff. And Killnet has members who have actually appeared with their faces obscured and their voices changed on Russian television. They're kind of celebrities there. So Mandiant says, like, we think maybe Killnet and Hacknet are working together. You know, definitely Hacknet is working in concert with the Russian intelligence agencies. Killnet, we're not so sure. But now, Killnet is the one that in the last few months has been targeting U.S. entities. And so you've got this kind of murky world where there's potential Russian intelligence connections. And now you have companies like Lockheed Martin and this lesser known company called Gorilla Circuits, which have been targeted by Killnet.
What have Lockheed Martin and Gorilla Circuits said about those attacks?
Well, Lockheed Martin didn't comment on the attack directly, but they said they're often targeted by hackers. Now, Gorilla Circuits says, hey, we were hacked back in the fall. And we notified everybody who needed to be notified after the hack. I don't think the consequences of either of these was particularly devastating. It's really, and this is the game of the hacktivists, right? They try to sort of have some kind of effect and then they amplify that. And that's a big PR win. It seems like there's a grassroots support for the Russian war and NATO allies are paying the price for that.
Russia has denied that it's involved in hacking, but how concerned should the West be about the kind of coordination described by these researchers?
The concern here is that these hacktivist groups, now that they've established these brands, they could do something really damaging and Russia could get a pass for that. Russia could say, could have plausible deniability, say, and they could say, hey, we didn't do this, you know, we didn't take out this power plant or turn off the lights in Baltimore, or, you know, it wasn't us, it was just hacktivists, right? When in fact, the Russian government may be calling the shots here.
When the war in Ukraine started, there was a lot of talk that this was going to be kind of the first cyber war. Given this strategy, does it appear that that is not going to be the case? This still is going to be kind of a cloak and dagger when it comes to cyber attacks?
Hey, cyber war is cloak and dagger. I mean, that's what we're seeing, like these hacktivist groups launching attacks for like 8 months now. And there have been these ongoing wiper attacks. There have been satellite networks affected. I mean, this is cyber war. We're seeing what it looks like. It's not like everyone expected it to be. It's much more like 1914 trench warfare, you know, that is, you know, the Blitzkrieg or something like that. But it seems to be happening. And my guess is when this is over, there's going to be a lot of analysis. And we're going to find out that there was a lot more going on than we realized.
All right. That's our reporter, Robert McMillan. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
My pleasure.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. For more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, you can give it a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Wall Street Journal editorial page is always on top of the latest from Washington and around the world. I'm Kyle Peterson, and you can join me, Paul Jagot, Kim Strassel, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.